Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
It is a Friday. It is great to have you back in. All sorts of things happening live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, FS1. Tom Brady's taking another pay cut. Joy will have that in a bit. Cam Newton re-signing with New England. I'll have that in 5 minutes. And oh my, the Russell Wilson situation is heating up. Joy, you take a day off. We have been so lucky. The other day, management does this type of stuff. I got a little text from a manager, and he said, do you realize your Tuesday or Wednesday ratings were up like 50% from a year ago? And I'm like, yeah, because the whole world, every quarterback's moving. It's not that I'm brilliant. I mean, though, that's the initial feeling.
I mean, you should give yourself that
yeah,
credit.
Yeah, but it's actually, you and I have been talking about this off the air. It's crazy town.
I mean, I've been saying for years that the NFL needs to embrace this more. It's why the NBA offseason is so thrilling. It's all just speculation. Almost half of the stuff doesn't even end up happening or something else ends up happening, but we can't stop talking about it.
So here's the very latest. I'm told the Chicago Bears are trying to make a move on Russell Wilson, and they're trying to create a move that is so good Seattle can't say no. Now, Seattle would ideally not want to trade him to an NFC team. And this situation is Russell Wilson wants more say and thinks Seattle's offensive line and Pete's outdated offense are the reasons they're struggling. Pete Carroll thinks that Russell Wilson is responsible for a lot of the problems and interceptions. That's not going to change. That's how they see the world. My feeling's always been, fellas, get over it and just deal with your tension. Brady and Belichick had tension. Get over it. But now I have no idea how Chicago is going to make this work. They don't have a quarterback to give Seattle, and they don't have a great draft pick to give Seattle because they made the playoffs. Here's how it works. Chicago gives Seattle 5 first-round picks. Now, they may not be great picks if they get Russell Wilson, but they give them 5 first-round picks. Nobody else is probably going to offer that. And then Seattle has a deal to get a quarterback simultaneously with that. Keep your eye on Sam Darnold, USC guy, Pete Carroll, USC guy. In December, here's what Pete Carroll said about Sam Darnold. I think he's really talented. Great throws. He's a real quarterback. He sees things. He makes big plays and big throws in difficult situations because of his talent. It's just a matter of time. Sam's going to be a really big-time quarterback. He's thrown a lot of balls in 3 years. He's had a lot of experience. It's going to pay off in the long run. Sounds like Pete Carroll, like Sam Darnold. So you get all those first-round picks from Chicago. Remember, Seattle gave all their first-round picks up for Jamal Adams. You get them back, and then some. And then you get the quarterback who doesn't cost anything for a year. Seattle's going to have some dead money. That's ugly. But you're not going to pay Darnold for a year. So this thing is, and you know, here's where I'll give Pete Carroll credit. In Pete Carroll's eyes, he's like, well, I rebuilt USC and I rebuilt Seattle. That's what I do. I don't inherit great teams. I inherit messes and fix them. And whereas the Houston Texans got their feet in the ground, the Houston Texans are a big question mark. Everything's uncertain. Pete Carroll pulls this off, you have certainty. We got an inexpensive talented quarterback. We got a zillion picks. That's a bunch of certainty. Now, is giving up Russell Wilson ideal? No, and they'd like him to go to the AFC over the NFC, and Chicago knows that. Seattle's not too caught up, I'm told, on the dead money stuff. They don't care about that for a year. They don't. They like to get Russell to the AFC, but Chicago, that has not had a legitimate quarterback, like a big-time quarterback, since Sid Luckman, they don't have a feel for this position. We always say the Packers have a feel for offensive linemen. The Steelers have a feel for wide receivers. The Bears have a feel for defense. They got no feel for quarterback. And here you'd have one for a decade, because you can't go against Aaron Rodgers twice a year with a bunch of Nick Foles and a bunch of Mitch Trubisky's. You can't do it. And Aaron's going nowhere for the next 7 years. So Chicago's trying to make it work. And keep your eye on Sam Darnold. That's how Seattle gets their quarterback. Very exciting stuff. So occasionally, okay, let's be honest. Usually we're right. I said Cam Newton was going to re-sign with New England. It makes a ton of sense. And I'm going to defend Cam Newton on something. So today, one-year deal, $14 million. And why it works is, first of all, that's a very doable number. Second of all, a one-year deal, New England can still draft a quarterback. But I think this is the move they should have made. This is the move, if I ran New England, I would have made, and here's why. Number one, quarterbacks are always better in year two. Okay, Tom Brady is not going to have that September-October turbulence. Tampa Bay is going to go 15-1, 14-2, or 13-3. Brady's going to be better this year. So quarterbacks are always better in year two. Secondly, Cam rushed for 12 touchdowns. Well, what about his throwing? They have nobody to throw to. So Cam did what he does really well. He gave them 12 rushing touchdowns, led the NFL. Number three, it's a very team-friendly contract. Number four, New England's coaching and their defensive special teams are great. They don't need to be a top-five offense. They just have to be better than what they are at wide receiver. And number five, and this is crucial, the AFC East outside of Buffalo is still a bunch of questions. We don't know what the Jets are doing. Two in Miami. I mean, Buffalo's good, but Belichick's had a great deal of success against Josh Allen. He's given him fits. So, and here's the other thing. You know, people are not being fair with Cam. And Cam's never been my favorite, and he's not very accurate. But let's be fair about this. So what happened in America that all sports leagues and the NFL had to deal with this season? COVID. And do you know anybody that's had COVID? I do. Not only do you get COVID, but it lingers for 2 and 3 weeks. That's for athletes. Old people, it lasts for 2 and 3 months. So Cam got COVID. And the first two games back from COVID, he was a mess. He was weak. He was tired. 0 touchdowns, 5 picks. So Cam's a big, strong athlete. He's not 70 years old. So he's going to recover quickly. So he gets COVID. He's out. He comes back for 2 weeks. He's got no juice. But let's go look at the last 9 games of the year where Cam with team doctors, big, strong athletes, how'd he do? He had a passer rating of 90. He had 12 total touchdowns, completed 65% of his throws, and had a winning record. Cam was pretty good down the stretch. Again, throwing to interns. So the reality this morning, and I said this with Cam, this morning New England feels 9-7, 10-6 to me with Cam. Year two, talent, team-friendly deal. Just go out and buy a wide receiver. Buy Hunter Henry, the tight end. Go buy Kenny Golladay. With this defense, with this coaching, Cam in year two, still a ton of question marks in this division. And you're looking at a 9-7, 10-6 team that you're not going to want any part of. Because the way Cam Newton and New England are going to run this offense stylistically, unless you have like Baltimore and Lamar Jackson, if you're preparing for New England in a playoff game, you don't have anybody in house that plays like Cam. So it's you know, Cam's not your typical guy. You can't prepare for him. It's like one of the advantages to Lamar Jackson. How do you prepare for Baltimore? You don't have anybody in your camp that plays like him. And that was always the thing with Michael Vick. You couldn't simulate him at practice. That's a real thing. So this makes sense to me. It's always made sense to me. I don't buy all these quarterback prospects. I don't buy Mac Jones at all. I think my prediction is Trevor Lawrence and Trey Lance are going to be the two home run quarterbacks. Everything else is a lot of nonsense and inconsistency, although I think Justin Fields has real talent. But this makes sense to me. They feel like a playoff team. They don't feel like a Super Bowl team, but they feel like they could, on any Sunday with Cam year two, play with people. Now just go get Kenny Golladay. Just go pay for a receiver because you can't figure out how to draft one. And everybody's got a hole in life. It doesn't matter if you're the best doctor, you're the best coach. Everybody's got a hole. New England can't draft college receivers. Go pay for one. Kenny Golladay's great.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So the Kansas City Chiefs kind of stunned the NFL yesterday. They released both of their starting tackles. Eric Fisher coming off an ACL. That's hard to overcome. Achilles. And Mitchell Schwartz has a bad back surgery. That's not ideal either. They're also potentially losing their center. So it's very interesting here. Kansas City's going to win 7 Super Bowls, and I think they have a long runway with great people. But an hour before the Super Bowl, that was the narrative. Then they got blown out in the Super Bowl. Now they need to rebuild their offensive line. And now Patrick Mahomes' contract every couple years is going to get pricier. So this dynasty thing is hard. New England had some big advantages. Their division was nonsense. There were no great quarterbacks in their division. Patrick Mahomes has Justin Herbert and Derek Carr for starters, and Denver's going out to get one. So New England had the advantage of Tom Brady had 20 years of a bunch of second-tier quarterbacks, second-tier coaches. The other thing is New England went 10 years without winning a Super Bowl, and that's the greatest dynasty of all time. The other thing is New England had the best quarterback of all time taking massive pay cuts because he was married to a superstar. And that's something that Kansas City doesn't have. So Green Bay and Seattle with Russell Wilson and Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers have 3 Super Bowl totals in a combined like 30 years. It is hard. Remember, there's only 5 dynasties in the history of the NFL. 5. Some are short. Vince Lombardi in Green Bay. And then you went to the Pittsburgh Steelers with Terry Bradshaw. And then you had Bill Walsh, San Francisco, Montana. Then you had the Dallas Cowboys, Troy Aikman years. And then you had New England. That's it. Favre was never part of one. Rodgers not part of one. Russell Wilson not part of one. Peyton Manning was never part of one. And there are great quarterbacks. Dan Marino was never part of one. John Elway was never part of one. So it's hard. And now Kansas City has to rebuild their offensive line. By the way, in their division, Joey Bosa. Can you imagine Joey Bosa going up against a rookie left tackle for Kansas City? Right now he's salivating. That's not good.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
We've got 5 quarterbacks coming in the first round. I'm going to tell you the 2 I think are going to make it. Trevor Lawrence and Trey Lance are mine. You guys can have the rest. Those are the 2 guys I think are going to be home runs. We know it ain't going to go 5 for 5. It's unlikely in NFL history it goes 4 for 5. 2 of these guys can't play. 1's average. My prediction is Trevor Lawrence is a stud and Trey Lance is a stud. I talked to an NFL personnel guy last night. Somebody that some of you know, it's a name you'd know, really smart. And I told him my theory, and he said, you're not necessarily wrong. I told him my concerns about Zach Wilson of BYU. And let me segue to this. So if I would ever question Zach Wilson, let's say the Jets draft Zach Wilson, and I say the next day, I think it's a bust, you'd just be outraged. Last year was a great draft. This year's draft is much thinner on talent. It's a great draft. Let's go to the 2020 NFL draft. Top 12 picks. 2 are home runs. Chase Young, Washington, number 2 pick, and Justin Herbert, Chargers. Those are home runs. Those look like Hall of Fame players. 5 are very concerning. Jeff Okuda, Lions, number 3. Bad. Andrew Thomas, left tackle, Giants. Not good. Tua, not great. C.J. Henderson, Jags, 9th corner, struggled. Henry Ruggs, Raiders, 12. I didn't like the pick then. I like it worse now. Then there's 5 others. They didn't pop, but there's something there. Joe Burrow's clearly talented. So is Derek Brown, Carolina. Isaiah Simmons, Cardinals. Jedrick Willis, the offensive lineman to Cleveland. There's something there. Same with Mekhi Becton, the offensive lineman for the Jets. So of the top 12 picks, these are the top 12 picks in a great draft. 2 home runs, 5 potential busts, and 5 look good, but yeah. So my point is, if I'm the Jets, we know in the NFL history, the first 2 quarterbacks taken, They're never both great. One of them's not going to work. And Zach Wilson, I told my talent guy last night, I said, he looks skinny. I said, history of the NFL. Name the NFL great quarterbacks. Your first thought is, boy, he looks skinny. Favre wasn't, Fouts wasn't, Aikman wasn't, Ben wasn't, Brady's not. He looks skinny. And by the way, if you're skinny at 22, you're skinny. You've never seen a skinny guy that looks maxed out at 25. Secondly, Jets have a bad O-line, sketchy receivers, rookie head coach. Does that sound like a winning proposition? Third, you got Belichick, Sean McDermott, and Brian Flores in division. There's the three best defensive coaches in the NFL, and Ron Rivera. So, I'd be careful. But Eric Mangini, when he was on earlier this week, said he goes, you know, you can get a lot more trading that number two pick, Zach Wilson, than you can get trading Sam Darnold. You may be able to get three first-rounders from a college kid. So, I don't know. Like, I look at last year's draft, and all in the top 12 pick, we have five potential busts. You think you're getting guarantees? You're not getting guarantees with the first 12 picks. Forget the back end of the first round, second, third, fourth. All right, hour two, loaded. Cam Newton's coming back to New England and more.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
So, you know, this is interesting. So Brady took another pay cut today, as Joy reported earlier. Tom Brady said, oh, I'll take another pay cut. He's going to save the Buccaneers $19 million. And I was thinking about this. Belichick is finding out. You can love your wife, but do you appreciate all the stuff she does for you? Like, as a guy who is a workaholic, I love my wife, but, you know, from time to time I have to remember, man, she does a lot. I gotta make sure she knows I appreciate the stuff she does. Popovich with Tim Duncan and Belichick with Brady, they love Tim Duncan and Brady. I'm not denying that. Do they appreciate what they did? Think about this. We all know finding a superstar like Mahomes, you just don't. You get one a franchise, maybe two. Okay. But both Duncan and Brady took pay cuts often in their prime. Do you know how few superstars do that? And then both also totally drank the Kool-Aid of their head coach's system. Neither system, by the way, was ever superstar friendly. Both Popovich and Belichick's system started with get over yourself. James Harrison went to New England, and he said when he got there, he was in a meeting, and Belichick is ripping Brady. And he's thinking to himself, what am I watching? Tom Brady's getting ripped. That's another thing superstars don't allow. Popovich was allowed to rip Duncan in front of other players. Belichick was allowed to rip Brady in front of other players. Not every superstar's going to allow that. And then both of them in their prime took pay cuts. And they both bought into a non-superstar friendly system. By the way, Popovich got Kawhi. He wanted to do it with Kawhi. And Kawhi's like, talk to the claw. Talk to the hand. I'm not buying your system. And Kawhi's not a bad guy. But Kawhi's like, I'm not taking pay cuts. I'm not buying into your system. You're not going to humiliate me in front of other players. I'm defending the. I wouldn't want to be humiliated by my boss. And I look at this. Here's Brady once again. Pay cut. Like, I'm not saying Bill didn't know he was great. It's almost impossible to find a superstar. To get one that takes pay cuts in his prime, and you can undress him in front of the players, and buys into and carries the water, the Kool-Aid, for your system that is not superstar friendly. You can tell your wife you love her. Do you really appreciate what she does?
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Ask yourself this. Why isn't Cleveland giving Baker Mayfield a contract extension yet? Maturity. Why is Johnny Manziel out of the league? Maturity. Why is Denver reportedly, I was told this last night, preferring to move off Drew Locke? Maturity. Why does Jameis Winston only make $1 million a year? He's talented. Maturity. it matters. You keep arguing it doesn't. You lose every time. Uncle Colin beats you every time in that argument. You have to be uniquely mature to be a quarterback in the NFL. Can you imagine what a circus Baker Mayfield would have been with the Cowboys for the first 2 years? Oh, good hell. Dak Prescott, every time he steps to the mic, we've had anthem controversies. We've had Jerry controversies. He says something on radio. We've had the Zeke camp controversy. I mean, Dallas has a controversy every 15 minutes. But you've got Dak Prescott steps to the mic like he did yesterday, and he's a grown-up. He can handle the moment.
To me, it wasn't a gamble. So even there, sitting there with holding my leg or whatever on the field, trying to put it back into place, or later on being in the hospital and waking up from surgery, that's just what God's thrown at me. And if you've known my life, if you've known my story, whatever circumstance that is, I'm going to take it with a smile and be thankful that God has put me in this position to overcome it, to be an example to others. So never in a million years, and I have to thank, honestly, Alex Smith. Because at that moment when you're sitting there and you have an injury like that, or you come out of surgery, to see somebody who's already done it and did it actually in worse circumstances, that allowed my mind just to go to straight, hey, I can do this.
He was just great. It was just 15 minutes of great. And you're going to argue with me, and you have my entire career. You don't get it. Quarterback's different. You got to be a grown-up. The only reason Baker Mayfield's not getting a contract extension, and Lamar Jackson is, not just talent. They don't trust Baker yet. Jameis Winston. By the way, Cam Newton didn't have much of a market. The question wasn't Cam's talent. The question always with Cam was, is he all in? Can he fit into our system? And he did in New England. He proved people wrong. But this idea you keep arguing, this is not like any position in sports. You don't have to be mature to be a great shooting guard in the NBA at 22. You don't have to be mature to be a great relief pitcher in baseball. Nobody asked that. This is the one position in American sports. You're literally the face of a franchise at 23. Well, it's not fair that you have to be that mature. Nope, not. Not. It's not fair that you can have a 4.0 and not get into Harvard or Stanford. I mean, you would think, I got a 4.0. And they're like, that's not good enough. We need a 4.5 and a multitude of electives that you took in high school, college courses, and we need you to have on your resume, you did charity work in your local community, and did you create a website? It's not fair. 4.0, I did just exactly not enough. It's not your arm. That's not enough. You've got to be mature. Got to be a grown-up. Got to be able to handle the Monday presser. You know, Eli Manning did something years ago. I didn't hear about this until recently. He didn't like to talk after the Giants won. He'd always make himself available to the media after they lost. But he didn't always make himself available after they won. And Eli Manning, very mature guy, his theory was always, hey, if we win, let everybody feel good about themselves. I get the credit anyway. If we lose, I'd rather take the heat. I got the biggest contract. I'm the quarterback. I can take the arrows. I only heard about that. I'm like, boy, that's smart. That is really the way to do it, the way Eli did. So congrats to Dak. $40 million for his talent is overpaid. But if 10 to 15 is that I get. Being a Cowboy quarterback is not like being a Jags quarterback. It's not like being a Seahawks quarterback. Not like being a Chargers quarterback. You got your owners holding the Monday press conference. There's a trash can is on fire in the office twice a week. Somebody's got to be the extinguisher, and that's Dak.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sportsbook, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, by the way, I'm not into gunslinger guy. He has one career interception. The knock on him is, this is what Mel Kiper's saying, a lot of these people are saying. They're saying, we just don't have a lot of footage of him. He's never thrown more than 24 passes in a game. Like, I think he did one time. And I think the kid looks unbelievable. And say, Trey Lance and Trevor Lawrence, to me, are going to be the stars in the draft. And he's a small school guy, so is Josh Allen, so is Big Ben. A lot of these guys are small school guys' work. I think he's – I have a weird connection to him, and he's, I've been told, smart, mature, all that stuff. I mean, look at him. Look how big he is. But it's interesting. People are like, we don't have a lot of video on him. So I'm not I like music, but I don't know anything about music. I'm not musically inclined. But I used to watch American Idol, and I was never wrong. Like, it's like hack, lounge singer. Like, there was three categories of people on American Idol. Hack, good enough to make a living singing, star. And I could pick them, and I could pick them in 15 seconds. How? How could I do that? Because talent's not, you don't need a lot of footage to see talent. You just don't need a lot of footage to look at Zion on the internet and go, the hell is that? That's a star in the NBA. So I think there's sports and entertainment, music, dance, athletics. You can see, I mean, I remember I've had bosses say, listen to this tape on a young broadcaster. I can put it in for 90 seconds and be like, nah, not good enough. Well, how can you? I can tell. I do this. He's not. Or, yeah, that guy's going to be really, really popular. It's not that hard. I don't need to see him throw 38 times in a game. Size, arm, no gunslinger, no interceptions. Now, if he gets a crappy coach and a bad O-line, it may go sideways. We all know where you land matters. I'm disputing that. But if this kid gets a legit coach and a legit offensive line, I'm not worried about I don't have a lot of tape on him. That doesn't worry me. I think talent is easy to spot. It may be, I mean, does it, everything I see. I was just talking to Greg Cosell last night about Trey Lance. I called Greg Cosell. And I'm like, what do you see? And he's like, a bunch of good stuff. He goes, just a bunch of good stuff. And Greg had a unique connection. He said, from what I hear, they ask him to do all the protections. So you know he's way ahead of these college quarterbacks in terms of calling audibles, calling protections. So he's working out today. And Seattle is at the workout.